banging and playing and turning pages. And that's sort of hard to do, but thank you, young people. We appreciate it so much. I'd like you to take your Bibles, and I hope you have your Bible with you tonight, and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about some principles of having victory. We need to have victory as Christians. And there are some principles that God gives us in His Word, and I think we'll see some of those that are listed in these verses. I'm ready for some victory, aren't you? I sort of get tired of being around Christians who are defeated all the time. We need to have victory. I read about a cat that had its tail stepped on so many times that every time somebody walked in the room again, he'd just stick his tail out and let them step on it again. Well, I think sometimes a lot of Christians get a little bit like that. We need to say thanks be unto God who causes us always, that's a good word there, to triumph in Christ Jesus. We need to have victory. Now, let's look at these verses. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and let's begin reading with verse 4, if you would please. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose ye a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among the men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him, Abinadab, the third, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, Take thou for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp of thy brethren. And then he gave him some other instructions as he sent him down there. I heard about a coach who was recruiting, and he took someone along with him to train them in recruiting. And as they were talking, he said, You see that guy out there that just got knocked down? He said, We don't want him, do we, coach? He said, No, we don't want him. He said, See the guy that got knocked down and got back up? We don't want him either, do we? He said, No, coach, we don't want him because he got knocked down, although he got back up. And he said about the other one, he saw somebody go down, get knocked down, and he got up. He got knocked down, and he got up. He got knocked down, and he got up. And he said, That's the guy we want, isn't it, coach? He said, No, that's still not the guy we want. The guy we want is the guy knocking everybody else down. And so we need to be aggressive, and we need to be knocking others down. We want to be that man that's knocking everybody else down. In other words, as believers, we want to have victory in our lives, and we need to be on the attack. It's onward, Christian soldiers. It's not run from the devil, but it's onward, Christian soldiers. So we see in verse 4 a very, vicious enemy, this champion out of the camp of the Philistines, Goliath. And he gives us some information about him. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He also continues to tell us that he had 6 pieces of armor. His height, 6 cubits, 6 pieces of armor, and his spear, 600 shekels. You read it there. If I look at that right, I might get the idea that we're getting 666. But let me tell you something. 777 always whips and always beats 666. Because 7 is God's number and the number of completion. We see satanic power there, vicious enemy. And the devil's purpose, he is a type of the devil, Goliath is. Look at verse 10 as we look at the satanic purpose. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. He said, I want to defeat and defy and embarrass God's people. And Satan is still up to the very same thing. He wants to destroy us. He wants to whip us. He wants to defeat us. Now, there's a war today on against the saints. I believe that. I believe our culture today does not favor Christianity at all. Now, what are we going to do? We can fold or we can stand. And I think we shouldn't fold. I think we as Christians ought to stand. And so the devil wants to defeat us, but we cannot afford to let him do that. Now look at Satan's persistence in verse 16, if you're still there. He said, The Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. 40 days. He showed up every day. Giving them the challenge, making these statements to the people of God. Now, David comes along, and we see him back in verse 9. David is the one that God has sent by, and he's the one that's going to get the job done. 40, by the way, is the number of testing. And the devil always wants to test us, and he's always working against us. But thank God we have a vicarious encounter, and that is with a man. Verse 8 said, the Philistine said, ye servants to Saul, choose you a man, notice that, a man for you, and let him come down to me. In verse 10, the Philistine said, defy the armies of Israel this day, give me a man that we might fight together. He said, I'm not afraid of anybody, but you give me somebody, and I will whip that somebody. I can fight that somebody. But David was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. How was he a type of the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't have time to go through all of these one by one and add to some that are listed here. But we know, number one, he was the sanctified one. David was the sanctified one. Jesus was the sanctified one. He was the one set apart to do exactly what he did. And in chapter 16, in verse 13, the Bible tells us about him being the one that was anointed. Look at verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. He was the anointed one like Jesus Christ. He was also the sent one, just like Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17 of chapter 17. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. Jesse sent David to his brethren. God sent his son to take our place on the cross. He was also a type of Jesus because he was the scorned one. Look at verse 28. And Eliab, in chapter 17, verse 28, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He got mad at David. He said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those sheep and those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He said, David, I know why you're here. You just came to see what's going on. You're really not that brave. But my friend Jesus was scorned and laughed at. And they questioned his deity, they questioned his motive, they questioned who he was, but he was the Son of God. No wonder he was scorned. Not only that, Jesus was the saving one. I believe Jesus saves. How about you? He is the saving one tonight. The only one that can save you and forgive you of your sins is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it was one man here that won the victory. And we know that as in Adam we all die, in Christ we shall all be made alive by one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to remember that Jesus won it all for us. And we live from victory, and we live for victory, and we fight from a position of victory in Christ. We already have the victory. Again, I read about a man who was bragging and boasting about the fact that he'd cut a tail off of a lion with a penknife. And he was bragging around to everybody, and the guy said to him, "Now you know better than that. You know there's no way you'd be brave enough to cut the tail off of a lion with that little penknife." He said, "Well, I wasn't too worried about it. Somebody had already killed the lion." And Jesus has already killed the lion for us, hasn't he? He's already given us the victory. We fight from victory. We don't just fight to have victory. We are already victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight I can tell you, you don't have to be defeated as a believer. You can be victorious as a believer. Christ has already won the victory. So we have a vicious enemy, and we have a vicarious encounter. But thank God we have a victorious example here. We have some practical principles of victory that are shown to us here. One of those principles is preparation. Young people, listen to this one. Preparation. Go back to verse 15, 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 15. The Bible says, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." Here was David doing exactly what his dad had told him to do. David was simply being obedient in little things. May I suggest to you, unless you learn to be obedient in little things, you'll never be obedient in big things. And sometimes preachers and Christian workers wonder, why did God pass me by? Why don't I have those blessings in my class or in my ministry? One of the reasons sometimes is we're not faithful in the little things. Listen to what Luke said, 16:10. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." I like to find people who are serving God to promote them to serving God in a greater capacity. Because if they're faithful in the little things, I know they're going to be faithful in the big things. It's not what we are in public, my dear friend, but it's the small things in secret as to what we're doing or not doing that really makes the difference in our lives. So it's preparation, and then it's perspective. That's so important in order to have victory. Look at verse 26, the perspective. "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?" And notice the question here. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" You see, he had the right perspective. His eyes were not so much on Goliath. His eyes were on God. And he knew that God was sovereign and that God had all power and that God was in control of everything on the face of this earth. And God could solve those problems. Now let me think with you tonight about your problems. I don't know what they are, but why don't you multiply them and quadruple them right now in your mind? You say, "I've got some problems, I have a problem." And just multiply them as much as you want to, and then let me ask you this question. Are your problems then too big for God? The answer is absolutely not. So what we need to do is just sort of glance at Goliath and then gaze at Almighty God. Gaze at Him and His power and know that no matter what we're facing tonight, we can have the victory. Our perspective has to be right. And then purpose needs to be right to have the victory. In verses 29 and verse 32. Look at those verses. David said, "What have I now done?" Then he asked this question, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" Verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." You see, David knew that there was a purpose. And he said, "I will." Is there not a cause? Yes. Well, then I'll go. There is a cause. And I'll put myself in harm's way, if you think of it in those terms. But I'm going to go. And yet there were those who fought him. He had obstacles. Look at verse 24. There was the dismay of others. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. They were scared. They were frightened. And they took off running because they had fear. And if we're not careful, our fear will go over and it will spill over into the lives of other people. But they took off running. They were afraid. He had the disdain of his brethren. Again, verse 28, his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither?" And all of that. He asked that question that we mentioned earlier. Why are you here? So they scorned him and they made fun of him. You know, sometimes people make fun of us because we are Bible-believing people and because we are fundamental in our beliefs. And so what do they call us today? Fanatics. And we are, because we believe in the fundamentals of the faith. Now, don't get that mixed up with some of the radical fundamentalists in some of the other religions. But we are fundamentalists. We believe in the fundamentals of the faith. And we ought to stand for that. It doesn't matter about the disdain of anybody else or what kind of criticism they have. I'm glad tonight I believe in the virgin birth. I'm glad I believe in the infallibility of the Scripture. I'm glad I believe in the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I believe in a literal return of Jesus Christ to this earth. I'm glad that I believe it is the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us from our sins. I'm a Bible-believing fundamentalist, and I'm not ashamed of it. And David wasn't either. He didn't worry about the scorn of those who called him fanatical. And then there was the discouragement of the experts. You know, you always have experts, and they always seem to think they know more than God. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, Saul the king, said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him." David, you're crazy. You shouldn't do that. "For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." He's been fighting a long time. "David, you're just a little teenage boy, a young man, and you shouldn't go fight him." The experts seem to always have the answers to some of our problems and all of that. Let me tell you something. Advice is good. It's okay. And some advice can be good. But let me tell you where you ought to get your answers. From God on your knees. Go to God and ask God what you should do. That's what David did. And he knew the heart of God. And he found that out, I believe, in his prayer closet. And then there was a fourth thing for victory. And that was progression. Look at verses 34 through verse 36. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion," he was faithful in those little things, "there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David was brave in the Lord. In the progression, he had courage. How did he get his courage? Past victories. Every time you have a victory, it ought to encourage you that you're going to have another victory. And then from that victory to another victory. And from that victory to another victory and a greater victory. And our victories come in a lot of the little things that we talked about, the smaller victories. I heard about a man that was being interviewed for a six-figure job, real high figures. And they were going through a cafeteria line, and the man that was thinking about hiring him watched him as he picked up some butter patties. And when he got to the cash register, he did not add those in and did not pay for them. A very little thing. But that man was watching him, and that man noticed his little dishonesty, we might call it, and he would not give him the job. Listen, it's what you do out there in secret. It's what you're doing out in the motel, men, when your wife isn't there. It's what you're doing, young people, when mother and daddy's not watching. It's what you're doing on the internet and the privacy when no one else is around and watching. But let me tell you, God is always watching. And so we need to understand that you must be faithful in little things in order for God to bless you and give you more responsibility. If not, he's not going to do it. And then there was protection, verses 38 and 39. And Saul armed David with his armor. And he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. He took them off. He said, this armor is not what I'm used to. I'm used to another protection. And remember that our weapons to win the battle and to defeat the devil are not carnal weapons. God tells us clearly in his word that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal weapons. It is not scholarship that's going to get you the victory over the devil. I'm for scholarship and I'm for education. But education is not what's going to give you the victory. You can have all the diplomas in the world and you're not necessarily going to have victory. It is if you depend on God and put on the armor of God that he's given us in his word. Then, and only then, are we going to have victory. So there's protection and then there's power. Go to verse 42. Verse 42, all the way through verse 45. And when the Philistine looked about and he saw David, he disdained him, made fun of him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, false gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Now just remember, David was just a little short Jewish boy, a little shepherd boy, and here's this big Goliath that's just very vociferous in all that he is saying here. And then David said, verse 45, to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. And that's the right name. That's his powerful name. The name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. I come to you in God's name. You put on all the armor you want to. I come to you in God's name, the power of the name. Jesus is a wonderful name. We ought to take it with us. The songwriter said, take the name of Jesus with you. And we ought to take the name of Jesus with us. That's what David was doing. American Express says, don't leave home without it. But I say we shouldn't leave home without God. Don't leave home without Jesus. Don't go to battle without depending on him and knowing that he will give you the victory every day. And then we see praise in verse 46. This day, David said, will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I love that. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And here's his motive. He wasn't trying to be a hero or a smart aleck or anything else. Look at his motive. That all the earth may know. What? That David is a great guy? No. That he's all-powerful and wise? No. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. David said, go ahead, Goliath. I'm going to show you who the real God is. You come to me in the name of your false gods. I'll show you who the real God is. And David's heart burned for the glory of God. That was his whole purpose in his life. And that's the difference in somebody who is a Christian that's ordinary in somebody that is extraordinary. There are not many, the Bible says, and not many that are noble and mighty that God uses, but He does it in the power of His strength. The Bible says He has chosen the foolish things to confound the world. It's not all of those other things. So David said, what if you are a giant? Doesn't bother me. God's on my side and I'm on God's side. And this day I plan to have victory and feed you and the rest of them to the birds of the air, and your carcasses can rot and they can eat it. And David knew that God was going to do it, and David knew when he got through that God had done it. See, David didn't take the glory. There was no King David with a GGK degree, giant killer degree, a GG, great giant killer degree. That was not his purpose. He was not trying to impress anybody. He just wanted God to be glorified. Why do we want victory? Why should we have victory? So God can be glorified. So Jesus can be lifted up. So the cause of Christ can go forward. So we have victory. And we must be consumed with that in our lives. And if we are, God will use us. And God will fill us and control us by His Holy Spirit. And then we can be good teachers and good soul winners and good parents, and we can live a clean life, and we can be a great testimony for the glory of God, and God will be glorified. So what do we have? A vicious enemy and a vicarious encounter, and thank God we have a victorious example. It's a matter of perspective. Don't look at the giants in your life. Don't look at all of those things that are coming at you that Satan is throwing at you and the fiery darts of hell, but keep your mind and your heart and your eyes on God. And when we do that, my friend, we are guaranteed that we will have the victory. It's time for us to have some victory, isn't it? And it's time for us to not be like that old cat. It's time for us to walk in victory to the glory of God. Are you having victory in your life tonight? Now, if you're not saved, you can't have victory. It all starts with Jesus. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I want to encourage you to accept Christ as your Savior. Christ died on the cross, paid our sin debt. Joining our church will not save anybody. Being baptized does not save you. It's important. It doesn't save you. All of your good works that you can muster up for the rest of your life will not save you. But you must be born again. And I hope if you're not saved tonight and not sure of it, you need to be able to say, yes, preacher, I am 100% for sure. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. You say, you can't know that. I say, you can know that. The Bible says you can. And again, I quote 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that have believed on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know. Not hope so, maybe so, that you may know that you have eternal life. It starts there, and then if we'll keep our eyes on Christ, keep our eyes on God and the glory of God, then we can have victory. Are you having victory tonight? If not, come and talk to God about it. Let's all stand. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Tonight, if you'd like to trust Christ as your Savior, make your way down. We have personal workers who will privately show you how to be saved. If you're not sure you're saved, teenager, boy, girl, man, or woman, come tonight and settle that and trust Christ as your Savior. And then if you haven't been having the victory, young person, adult, whoever you may be, come tonight and get your eyes back on God and confess the fact that you've gotten them off of Him and come back to the place where we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray now you would bless in this invitation. Thank you for this very familiar story in the Word of God here in 1 Samuel. And thank you that as we look at David's life, we see a man that loved you, that believed in you, that wanted to bring you glory. And because of his faith in your power, he knew that victory was guaranteed. He was not a coward. He didn't run. And I pray tonight that we'd bring our challenges, our burdens, our heartaches, our brokenness to you in order to get the victory. Help that person that is unsaved to come to Christ tonight. Lord, May your Spirit speak to them and draw them to Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. While we sing, would you come? May God speak to you, and may you do what God tells you to do. Would you do it?